Get 15% off a set of BrakeBest Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hillstring Gang, Rango the Three.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Bloody
Angola
podcast. 142 years in the making,
complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And I'm Jim Chapman,
and I'm Woody Everton.
And believe it or not, Woody Everton, we are at the end of another season, our fifth
season.
Can you
believe that, right?
It's crazy.
Over a year old, won best history podcast in the world, People's Choice Award this year.
That's
right. You are blessing us. Thank you for continuing to like and listen and share. It's freaking amazing.
In our episode we dropped last week, which was called The Black Code, right. It's on fire.
Right?
On fire. Yeah, everybody's loving it. Lie. Getting tons of comments, getting tons of downloads, and we were glad to bring it to you. Kind of went back to our roots on some old history with the most notorious prison in Louisiana.
Right.
And so we've got a couple of breaking news stories that are within the past couple months that we haven't told y'all.
Right.
We've just been doing other stories. We like to bring you some current news when we get it. So we're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about some of our favorite episodes from this year and maybe what you can look forward to for next season.
Right.
So we'll start it out with, we did an episode where we told you about the teens that were being moved into Angola. These were teens from the New Orleans area that were acting out at their prison that they were currently in.
Look, my kids acted out. These motherfuckers were taking hostages and escaping and burning shit down. I mean,
definitely a different type of
more than
acting out.
Yeah.
That's right. So what they did, the solution for this is they figured, hey, if you're going to act like adults and act like fools and
let me say this to y'all.
Thugs.
Again, you got to remember this. These are not, they're not in there for shoplifting. They're in for rape.
Murder.
Armed robberies, carjackings, serious shit. Okay.
And that's right.
So don't ever lose light in the stories about these juveniles thinking like everybody just wants to think kids being kids. And now these bad motherfuckers being bad motherfuckers.
Worst of the worst. Right. Yeah. Those type of crimes. And so they moved several of these troublemakers into a unit at Angola. Now, important to note, they were not around the actual regular population of Angola.
They can't even see it by law. An adult prisoner can't even be able to see a juvenile prisoner. To cut down on rape and all the other shit that goes on.
Yeah, and they were actually, so they moved to Angola, and now they have been moved out of Angola. This in the past, a few months. Yeah. This actually occurred September 15th
right.
Of this year. And I'm going to read you the article from, I believe it was The Advocate, where they talk about this. And it says, Louisiana officials have removed all of the teens incarcerated at the controversial lockup at the state penitentiary in Angola.
Which used to be Death Row.
Yes. And relocated them to a new facility in Jackson Parish. Officials said this on Friday of that, you know, Friday of September 15th. The North Louisiana facility where they have been moved opened over the summer and already serves youth in local justice systems. That from Otha Curtis Nelson, the state's top juvenile justice official. He said the youth will be housed there temporarily while repairs continue on other facilities maintained by the Louisiana Office of Juvenile Justice. This announcement came just as dozens of advocates from across the state were protesting outside the gates of the governor's mansion, demanding immediate removal of the youth from Angola. Midway through the rally, news broke of the state's decision, and the call to action quickly shifted to a tearful celebration, especially among protesters with teen family members locked up at Angola. The gathering erupted into cheers and church hymns. Deborah Ramirez cried out in disbelief as she fell to her knees. So they're all basically celebrating this decision. OJJ's decision to transfer the youth came after a federal judge last week ordered the state to remove the teens by Friday from the Angola facility, a repurposed death row building at the maximum security prison in rural West Feliciana Parish. U.S. District Judge Shelley Dick called conditions there intolerable, citing excessive use of solitary confinement, handcuffs, and pepper spray, along with inadequate educational and mental health services. The state has fought the order and won a temporary stay from a federal court earlier this week, and Nelson said Friday that the agency would continue to appeal the judge's decision, though it has removed the youth from the Angola facility. OJJ's long-term plan is to transfer all the youth needing intensive therapeutic services to the new Swanson Center for Youth at Monroe, scheduled to open later this year. Once that happens, OJJ will stop using the Jackson Parish facility for juveniles in state custody. The decision to move the juveniles to Angola came amid heightened turmoil at two state youth prisons that led to violence and multiple escapes last summer. The problems prompted widespread criticism of the chaotic conditions experienced by juveniles inside the facilities and the threat posed to public safety. Yeah. So
that threat being they kept escaping over and over and over again.
That's right. And so eventually they get moved into Angola. But as I just read to you, they have been moved back out, and they are in kind of like a temporary facility until the one in Monroe, which is in North Louisiana, y'all,
right,
until that is completely built. So
I hate to say this almost, but I don't, because I can tell you it's absolutely true. I used to be a supervisor at one of these juvenile prisons, and later on in my years in detectives and on the street and the detectives, I would arrest, I can't say all of them, but a lot of them, I'd arrest them for murder and stuff like that as adults. And it's unfortunate. It's a life that they're going to lead. So a lot of them are going to be going back to Angola anyway. I hope and pray that they all get straight, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
So what happened next, y'all, was you got this facility that they had to prepare, a double death row at Bloody Angola. They had to prepare and put house these kids, right?
Yep.
Well, you know what? State of Louisiana doesn't want to spend any more money than they have to. So what do they do next? And I'm going to read you an article. So Louisiana, what do they do, right? The juveniles are out. Well, Louisiana has transferred 18 incarcerated women from the Jetson Youth Center that are right outside of Baton Rouge and Baker to Bloody Angola, or Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. And anticipating a housing crunch, Louisiana's prison system last week moved 18 incarcerated women into a building at the all-male state penitentiary at Angola. It's the same building recently used to hold incarcerated youth in the juvenile justice system. The Department of Public Safety and Corrections said it was forced to transfer the women to make room for three girls ages 16 and 17 at the women's prison at the Jetson Center for Youth in Baker. It used to be the youth center, and now obviously it holds women. The relocation is expected to be temporary. All the women are supposed to return to Jetson in about a month once an expansion has been completed. And I can pretty much assure you that Louisiana, construction-wise, has never completed anything on time, so it might be a year from now. But in all, there are about 430 women at the prison. The department is currently preparing another facility at the Jetson location for adult offenders, which is expected to take approximately a month. Ken Pastrek says, y'all, he's a spokesman for the DOC. This latest churn of incarcerated people speaks to the operational challenges that come with imprisoning youth offenders, even when they are convicted of adult crimes and sentenced to adult prison. Federal standards require correctional facilities to carve out special housing for incarcerated minors to keep them separated from adults. Like I told y'all, keep them being raped or turned out or whatever. You're more likely to be sexually victimized in custody when you're a younger person by the staff, by volunteers, or by other prisoners, said Brenda Smith, the law professor at American University and Washington College of Law. That is true for both male and female offenders, she said, and I agree with her. But Louisiana's prison for women did not have enough space to accommodate the three underage girls apart from the adults, so it moved a small group of the adult women to Angola while officials rearranged space at Jetson to fit everyone. So the girls coming into the prison system, and I'm not going to read their names, y'all. I know they've been convicted, whatever, but they're still teenagers. But they all pled guilty last month to charges of attempted manslaughter from the case we brought y'all about Miss Linda Fricky, where they ripped her arm off. Remember that? And yeah, it was a horrible thing. They carjacked her and ripped her arm off, and she died. So unlike adult prisoners, juvenile justice facilities and treatment centers are supposed to be focused entirely on rehab. Children's advocates consider them more appropriate for young people whose brains aren't fully developed yet. But there's been pressure on Williams and other prosecutors to treat minors as if they're adults in response to a perceived surge in crime. It's not perceived. It actually is a surge in crime. But especially when they are suspected of committing heinous acts like Fricky's murder. Still, sentencing teenagers to adult prisons doesn't mean they can be treated exactly like adults. The Federal Prison Rape Elimination Act forces the state to offer protection to underage people to shield them from sexual abuse. Minors shall not be placed in a housing unit in which the youthful inmate might have sight, sound, or physical contact with any adult inmate through the use of a shared day room or other common space, shower area, or sleeping quarters. And that's according to the national, whatever they call it, anti-rape act. Louisiana's prison system's own regulations mirror those of federal standards, and the department shall either maintain sight and sound separation between youth offenders and adult offenders to prevent adult offenders from seeing or communicating with youthful offenders, or provide direct staff supervision when youthful offenders and adult offenders are together. So, pretty interesting, y'all. Got to make use of the space.
Got to make use of the space, for sure.
I wonder who they're getting. Maybe they're going to put some temporary female correctional officers on there.
I would imagine. Maybe they're going to pull some out. I mean, and they have female correction officers already at Angola.
Right. But, I mean, some of them work, everything from kitchens to the schools or whatever they call them, the workshops and all that stuff. But they're still working somewhere, and they're always got a shortage.
Yeah.
So interesting.
Very interesting. And so that's kind of some current news of what's going on at Louisiana. A lot of things going on at Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola with all of that. And we'll keep you updated as we progress.
And I'm going to give a shout out. I'm not going to say his name yet. We'll do it afterwards. to, I'm not even going to tell what his position was. Before we start the next season or during this next season, Jim and I are actually going to Bloody Angola.
There you go.
On a tour. And we just get to bring you a whole bunch more shit.
That's right. That's right. So speaking of the seasons and things like that, we just wrapped up what I would say was a pretty good season. Yeah. And so we're gonna recap that for you just real quick, and we'll give you our thoughts on how these episodes went. And the first episode 1 and 2 of season 5 were the Notorious Charlie Frazier.
Yes. And, you know, again, I think we just need to make a movie about him ourselves. God, this dude makes Bonnie and Clyde. I don't know how they, Dillinger and all these other people get more recognition than Charlie Frazier, because he was like the original badass.
30-plus escapes. And, right?
And all kinds of murders and just bad shit.
Built the Red Hat cell block
for
because
him.
Of
yeah, but yeah, because of one of the escapes where they killed some correctional officers.
Yeah, and ended up dying an old man in Angola, and became famous for making wallets, right, and things like leather crafts. Yeah. And I'd love to have one of his originals.
Yeah. We talked about that before. That'd be cool.
But I'll have to look and see if they have any of those for sale.
We might have to put that on Real Life Real Crime.
Yeah.
The people who aren't regular listeners, Bloody Angolas, get to learn about Charlie Frazier, because he was a real deal.
Out
there, bro.
No doubt about it. And we proceeded on and we talked about Duck.
Oh my God!
And not only did we talk about Duck, we had him on.
Absolutely, I'm biased towards all of them, like my children, but to be sitting in the room with an old cop who can actually tell stories.
What could he?
And he's going to be coming on the original Real Life Real Crime, y'all. But it's just absolutely most fire episode.
Yeah, it was just
in its own way, right?
We were like two kids just sitting on the floor while Daddy tells a story.
and Duck, if you listening, bro, you know we love you.
Oh yeah, and look, he has a million others. He said and I would love to just sit in the room and listen to those all day long. So that was also a favorite of mine. That was episode 3 and episode 4. We brought you one we had been planning to do for a while, and that was the Angola Prison Rodeo episode.
Great.
Talked about the history of it and
how it came about, how it got started, and
all the different events.
Yeah, all the events and how much money they make.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, and really enjoyed that one. And from there, we went to the River Parishes, and we told you about the serial killer Daniel Blank.
Yes, he
was. A couple of episodes.
Really good episodes. Y'all, you need to go listen to it.
Yeah, I probably personally had more messages on that particular series than any other one.
Right, a lot of fans listened to it and like, holy shit, I remember this, I remember that. And y'all, we love it when you send in those comments.
Yeah, and just a crazy story there. So then I did a solo episode. I don't remember what was going on. What you might have been stuck in Wisconsin or something, I think you were at that time. But season 5, episode 7, To Kill Again, and that was discussing serial killers that were released. Believe it or not, serial killers get out all the time.
Out of prison.
And then they get released, and these were all covering serial killers that killed again after they got released from prison.
And then they goes the whole thing. Like I did the one national serial killer, right?
Yeah.
This dude just kills and gets released, escapes and gets re-sentenced and gets released and kills many, many more people.
Absolutely. And then the episode after that, I was soloing here again. This was when you were in Wisconsin. Right. You were actually, Woody was supposed to be back for this episode, but he got stuck in the snow on the way back.
That was a hell of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was soloing here, and I discussed three short stories of Angola. I talked about John Whitley, the former warden.
Yes.
Convict Billy Blake Johnson, who was a heck of a story with that guy. And I discussed a little bit about the Angola golf course, which I had people reach out. They didn't even realize it happened.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's you know. Yeah. Real treat. You just have to get your security clearance before you can go play on it.
That's right. And that was season 5, episode 8. And then in episode 9, we brought you the Lake House murder story.
Yes, indeed.
William Lee Jr. That was part 1.
That was part 1
of 3.
Of 3, and which ended with Miss Tillman, right?
That's right.
And who is a wealth of knowledge on this case, and fire, and her husband was here. He's a super cool dude too.
Yeah,
y'all would listen to it because I mean Jim really tore it apart, and then Miss Tillman came in and just like she was like the one that brought the whole thing, to fruition.
Yeah, yeah, really did, and had me going down all kinds of wormholes with that case.
For real.
And then we came back and we brought you Targeted, which was the crimes of Kenneth Gleason. Mm-hmm. Big time downloads on that episode.
Yeah,
very popular.
Bad dude. Just a punk ass bitch serial killer from Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and targeting black people. And it was just horrible.
He used to be an Eagle Scout.
And looked like an Eagle Scout. Right. I mean, this was not a guy that you would look at. Of course, he had problems as he progressed in his young life. He was only 23 when he was sent to Angola. Of course, took the coward's way out, killed himself 2 days after being convicted.
Once he
convicted.
Got there, he was like, I'm pretty sure I'm a racist and I'm going to Angola.
Yeah.
I'm about to get dealt with.
Yeah, it was. It's a story you got to hear if you haven't. And then our last episode, which we just recorded last week and released, was the Black Code. Well, that was the 13th
episode.
Jim
did what he did or does, and came up with some just absolute fire stuff. And look, it was
amazing.
A different time, y'all. And I mean, you want to go back and talk about history, and not repeating itself. Holy shit, the stuff that went on back then.
Oh yeah, just horrible part of history that nobody really wants to talk about. But you know, you're doomed to repeat that stuff if you don't remember it.
History is history,
and
it's like the Holocaust and everything else. It
yeah,
has to be remembered.
And in a hugely popular episode so far,
right?
Just getting tons of downloads on that, and that was our 13th episode. And of course, today we're wrapping everything up and. I want to let y'all know also what we're looking at as far as drops for, you know, it's the holiday time and it's kind of a weird time because you have that time in between Christmas and New Year's.
5 days or whatever.
We don't want you to have to, you know, go super long without getting your Bloody Angola fix.
Right.
So next week we're going to drop it's kind of like a best of.
Right.
Episode, and that will be the week of Christmas.
It'll be 2 days after
2 days after Christmas, yeah. and then the week after that,
and that's just 2 days before or 3 days before New Year's Friday, Saturday. So
that's right,
2 days before New Year's Eve.
That's right. So we're gonna drop one next week that you're really gonna like. It's gonna be a little best of thing, and then. We're going to drop our top episode of 2023 the week after that.
Yes.
We're going to do some special things to it, though, so you're going to want to hear it. And that will be the week of New Year's. And then we'll be back on our regular schedule.
Right.
But we're not going to, you know, we always drop around here. So we want to make sure you get something new
get a little taste
every
of
week.
Something, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, y'all have been fantastic to us. Who knew would be where we are today, but we certainly wouldn't have any of this without y'all. And we want to thank our Patreon members.
Yes.
Also, y'all rock. Thank you for supporting us. Yeah, look, we got a ton of Patreon episodes and they get commercial free early releases and all that stuff. But it's a business and they help it run.
That's right.
And we really, really do appreciate it. And we appreciate our sponsors too.
Oh, sponsors are huge, and Factor and HelloFresh have really come through for us. And look, I'm going to tell you, both those, and they're owned by the same people.
Right.
So both of those organizations owned by the same people, but all those meals are good.
Oh my God.
If you're looking for something quick and you can pop it in the microwave for 2 minutes, that Factor is the way to go.
Right. And it's
healthy.
And it's delivered to your door.
Delivered to your door, you never frozen.
Yeah, right. You don't have to go fight the lines, and economically, it's really worth it. And then the food is fire.
That's right. And on the HelloFresh side of things, look, they have if you're someone like us that likes to cook, when you can, you get all the raw ingredients. You get to cook it yourself.
You don't have to go to the store. You don't have to send somebody back to the store for some celery or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to start with. However long ago it was, and I got the first box, I'm gonna be like, because I really like to cook, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit, it's like fast as fuck. I should say that's fine. It's fast, it's quick. It's on a little recipe card. Everything's in the box, but the sauces and all that kind of stuff they mix up to go with it is just, it's delicious.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's chef inspired, right?
Really is. And look, we've got some stuff coming for you in season 6, and we're not going to spill the beans on it just yet.
Yeah.
But we always try to bring you the most exciting things we can. And that is not going to stop anytime soon. We're going to still bring you some super exciting stuff coming with the sixth season. Of Bloody and Gold. It doesn't seem like it's been that long, does it?
No, it's crazy.
And it's all because of all of you.
Crazy blessed, and y'all are absolute rock stars.
That's right. If you're looking to, if you're a local to this area, you know, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, well, Louisiana in particular, and you want to sponsor Bloody Angola, reach out.
Yeah, step in, because you wouldn't believe if we can do it for these national sponsors, then why wouldn't we do it for our local people?
That's right.
It's always going to, if we do bring something to you, it'll be a product that we believe in and people that we believe in, and it'd be worthwhile.
That's right. And look, this is the last episode before Santa Claus comes.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
So we do want to wish all of you, Merry Christmas. Happy Jesus's birthday. Yeah, happy birthday, Hanukkah, Jesus.
Whatever you do.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Jesus, for me.
For me.
And St. Nick's coming.
Yeah, down the chimney he comes.
Right.
And so we hope everybody gets to spend some good time with your families and friends everyone in life that makes you smile.
I wonder if St. Nick ever stops at Bloody Angola.
I bet he does.
Somebody in there has probably got a good good dip.
I believe it.
Some of them don't do it.
I believe
some of them are getting switches and ashes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they're getting cold.
cold. That's what it was. Cold and switches and ashes, and you're stocking. That's what you get.
That's right. Merry Christmas,
y'all. We love y'all. Thank you for everything.
And look, just real quick, also Real Life Real Crime Daily and Real Life Real Crime, of course, air 5 days a week on the Real Life Real Crime podcast channel. So look for those. And incidentally, we are also going to be available here very soon on YouTube Music. So for those people that do YouTube now has a YouTube Music channel that is basically a podcast version of YouTube that they've kicked off. This is supposed to replace Google Podcasts. So look for that. Hopefully I'll get all that switched over. It'll be nothing on your part that you need to worry about, but it's a new channel. I'll get all those episodes uploaded on that YouTube Music. So if you're someone interested in that, check that out as well. And we just keep moving and moving up here at Bloody Angola. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
Complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
Peace.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.